Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your care and not for calamity, to give you a future with hope. Jeremiah 29:11. Psalm 56:3. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 56:3. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Psalm 55:22. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He shall never let the righteous fall. Psalm 55:22. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Jeremiah 17:7. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When a wicked man rules, the people groan. Proverbs 29:2. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. We are here again today to open our minds and hearts to the wonderful Word of God. God's Word is alive and powerful. If you and I want to know how to live, how to have joy and peace and excitement in life, we find that in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants each one of us not only to love Him, but to respond to Him by studying His Word daily, utilizing and applying the truths of God's Word. We bow for a moment of prayer before we begin our study. Father, grateful today for your grace. We are saved by grace. We are kept by grace. We are the recipients of grace in every area of life. And today we express again our thanks for the fact that you care for us. These wonderful verses which we have read today, we realize how wonderful it is to be a member of the royal family, an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Realizing that our lives at the longest are so short on this earth, and that eternity is a long, long time forever. And so help us to major on the major aspects of life, and minor on the minor aspects of life. Help us to accept your plan and your grace as we live each day. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. On the screen you see 1 Corinthians 15:34. We're not going to exegete the verse, only to read it before we begin to take some notes. This verse of Scripture says, "Awake to righteousness and do not practice sinning." For, and I'm giving this in the way that it is in the original language, which is not always a smooth translation. But we'll give it first the way it is, and then we'll seek to make a smooth presentation. Awake to righteousness, do not sin. For ignorance of God, some have. I speak to you for shame. Actually, what we have here is an emphasis upon being awake, being sober to what God's plan and purpose is for us. When I look at these words, it emphasizes awake from a deep sleep, to be sober, to move away from stupidity, to move into the ways of a holy life. That's what the meaning is of the words awake to righteousness. The next part of the verse says, do not sin. And you'll notice that that verb there, harmarteno, is the word which is an imperative verb, an imperative mood, a command. Do not practice disobeying God. Continually, present tense. active voice, each believer has to make a decision not to practice sinning. And then he goes on to say, and this is unique, some have ignorance of God's plan. And when I look at that word ignorance there, it means absence of knowledge. It means the inability to comprehend. It is the word not knowing. Many, many times you've heard me give you the Greek word gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. When you have the word gnosis in the original language, and you have a little A at the beginning of that, it is known in the Greek as the alpha privative, which means that whatever that word says, it's the opposite of that. And so if you have the word knowledge, and then you have A alpha privative at the beginning, it means no knowledge, the absence of knowledge. And that's what you have right here when you have the word that's translated ignorance. Don't go away from God's truth is what it's saying. Do not err as a believer. We're not to miss the mark. The Greek word harmartia is the word which means to miss the mark. Shoot, miss the mark. Not to wander. Not to go wrong. Not to violate God's plan. Not to stay away from the truth. It's too dangerous. It's dangerous consequences if you stay away from God and God's Word. It's dangerous. And we must realize that. You're headed for trouble. All of us are headed for trouble if we are staying away from God's truth, if we're ignorant of God's Word. And then the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, says to these Corinthian believers, some of you have gone this way. We're surrounded by strangers, it says. And these strangers are strangers to God and the thinking of God. And then the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit, says, I speak to you for shame. Interesting, isn't it? It's a shame to miss the abundant opportunities to know the truth. It's a shame for people to choose to live apart from God's happy plan for your life. It's a shame to be a stranger to God's plan, God's Word, God's truth. It's a shame. This is a message, I believe, to every one of us in this auditorium, the preacher included. It's a shame to miss the abundant life. It's a shame to miss the opportunities to know the truth. The German translation of this verse goes like this. Become in the correct way. In other words, get in the upright way, the honest way, the uncorrupted way. Rational and sin not. Be rational and sin not, is what it's saying. And then it goes on to say, some are in ignorance about God. And this I say to your shame. This I say to your embarrassment. I put that word in there. This I say to your humiliation. This I say to your mortification. Those are words that I've added that I believe explain. The German says, get on the correct path is what it's saying. Be upright. Be honest. Uncorrupted. Be rational in your thinking. And do not practice sin. You remember I said the other day that there are at least four different Greek words for the word do. Little word do. D-O. And one of those is the word that's translated from the Greek proso. Proso. Which means to practice. And this is what this actually means here, that a person is not to be practicing disobedience to God. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a number of ministries of the Holy Spirit. We have salvation by regeneration of the Holy Spirit. We have the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have individual spiritual gifts as a result of the Holy Spirit. As believers, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, as believers, we cannot be possessed by demons. I've said this often, and I want to be sure you understand. Some people are of the opinion that they can be demon-possessed as believers. Not so. No believer can be demon-possessed. But let me go on. Believers can be satanic, evil-possessed, satanically possessed. I typed it in capital letters so I could read it correctly. As believers, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, believers cannot be possessed by demons. Cannot be demon-possessed. But something that is equally as bad, perhaps worse, is for a born-again believer to be evil-possessed. I would encourage you to write that somewhere. We as Christians cannot be demon-possessed. That is, possessed by demons. But Christians can be overtaken by Satan's strategy, Satan's plan. Evil is the philosophy of Satan. Evil is the thought pattern of Satan. Evil is the religion of Satan. Evil is the genius of Satan. Evil is the policy of Satan. The soul, your soul and mine, is the battleground for truth or evil. How many times do I need to tell you that the real person in this auditorium today is not your body, it's your soul. And your soul is the real you and me. Your body brought you in here. The body brought the real person into this auditorium. The real person is not your body. It's your eternal soul. Your soul has right now the capability of seeing and comprehending and understanding. Even if you were an unbeliever, you have a soul that has the ability to comprehend physical phenomena. But all of us as believers in this auditorium have the ability to comprehend spiritual phenomena. We appreciate spiritual things. The reason is because God has changed us from body and soul to body, soul, and spirit. And being body, soul, and spirit, we now have the ability to appreciate, understand things that are in the realm of the spiritual. The soul is the battleground for truth or evil. And Satan is in the business of brainwashing. And we have to be careful that we're not brainwashed. Talking about the conduit during the break today, I needed to tell you that if you're traveling down that conduit as a believer, and then you begin to allow satanic thinking to come in, and that clear begins to get polluted and soiled and tainted, and move from clear to gray to black, I needed to tell you that you can break out of that. And you can break out by way of restoration to fellowship. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't ever live your life in a frustration state. Don't ever go through life in a mode of punching panic buttons and falling apart. That's not God's plan. God's plan is that we be joyful and happy and radiant and peaceful. When we admit our sins and accept God's forgiveness, we can move on. Don't fret over past mistakes. Don't come to the altar, so to speak, in your prayer life and take all your burdens, huge sack of burdens, and lay them down on the altar. And then when you get ready to get up, reach down and get that sack, throw it back on your shoulder, and walk away with it. That's not God's plan. Leave them there. I think there's a song that says, leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Don't be frustrated. Don't be confused. Don't be perplexed by your disobediences and your sins and the times you failed God. Admit it. Accept forgiveness and go on. That's God's plan. Okay. I wasn't planning on preaching that sermon, but let me give you 10 points because you need to something to look at when you get home. What is evil? Point one, what is evil? The scriptures we've looked at today on the screen and the one at the previous session has to do with deception. What is evil? I've defined it like this. It has a distinct technical and categorical meaning in God's Word. I'll give you time to write that. Evil has a distinct technical and categorical meaning in God's Word. Evil is not simply a generic word referring to anything bad or sinful. It's a lot more than that. What is evil? It is a distinct technical and categorical word meaning in the Scripture that this is Satan's plan, Satan's thinking. Number two, the word refers specifically to Satan's policy as the ruler of this world. The word refers specifically to the policy of Satan as the ruler of this world. I jotted down at the bottom of my notes, the government playing God. That's evil. You want to write that down somewhere? The government playing God? That's evil. The government ruling man's, women's activities is evil. I just threw that in for you. Number two again, the word refers specifically to the policy of Satan as the ruler of this world. And his modus operandi from the time of his fall throughout the angelic revolution and down to the point when Satan became the ruler of the world. Now, I know that's a long sentence. Just take out of it what you want. The word refers specifically to the policy of Satan as the ruler of this world. His modus operandi from the time of his fall throughout the angelic revolution and down to the point when he became the ruler of the world. Just saying that ought to take you in your mind to scriptures like Ezekiel chapter 28 and Isaiah chapter 14, where it emphasizes the fall of Satan. You ought to have that clear in your mind that Satan is the ruler of this world. Number three, Satan is opposed to anything involving the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is opposed to anything involving the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Satan is devoted to distorting or obscuring any truth related to biblical truths. Let me be sure that I can get this to you. Satan is opposing anything and everything related to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is devoting his time to distorting and obscuring any truth related to what the Bible says. That's the reason why you be careful. Whatever man may say to you, is it from God? Is it from God's Word? Don't accept man's thoughts, man's ideas, man's opinions. We all have opinions. Some of those opinions are not biblical. And when you're hearing people talk, don't be unkind, but take what they have to say and weigh it in the light of what the Bible says. Number three again, Satan is opposed to anything involving the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is devoted to distorting and obscuring any truth related to the Bible. Number four, through evil, Satan brings about two major consequences on the earth. Through evil, Satan brings about two major consequences. They're related to two things we mentioned in the previous session: sin and human good, both of which are based on person's thinking. Sin and human good. Number 5. This verse of Scripture, you'll see it says, "Awake, be sober to righteousness." Not self-righteousness, but God's righteousness. Self-righteousness is combined oftentimes with human good, which is sincerity. And it produces a saturation of evil. Now let me see if you're understanding what I'm saying. Self-righteousness combined with human good produces a saturation of evil, especially in our nation. We've got a lot of this going on now. A saturation of evil in the light of presenting human good. Wait till I get down to point 10 and you'll hear that better explained. Number 6. The reason we're studying this subject now is to learn that men, women, boys and girls cannot solve problems, human problems, with human solutions. If I were you, I would write down, human problems cannot be solved by human solutions. We're living in a world where people are trying to emphasize human solutions to problems of mankind. God in His Word presents the answer to every human need. I put this in capital letters in my notes. God in His Word presents the answer to every human need. There's not a need presented by any person that's not met somewhere in the Word of God. God in His Word presents the answer to every human need. Then think about that. Number 7. A person who is consistently involved in satanic thinking is involved in evil. In other words, if our mind is operating with satanic thinking, evil thinking, then we're involved in a system that's going to ruin us, not help us. Number 8. Evil always results in the destruction of society. The malfunction of society. The removal of legitimate authority. Evil results in the destruction of society. The malfunction of society. The removal of legitimate authority. If I should mention the laws of divine establishment, does that make any sense to any of you? The laws of divine establishment. The laws of divine establishment have to do with 4 major things: choice, volition, marriage, family, and nationalism. Could you remember those? Volition, choice, marriage, family, and nationalism. Evil results in the destruction of society, the malfunction of society, the removal of legitimate authority under the divine laws of establishment. Choice, marriage, family, and nationalism. Number 9. Satan's original sin was a distortion of biblical concepts. Satan's original sin was a distortion of biblical concepts. All you have to do is go to Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, and there you will find emphasis on the fall of Satan. And there you will find that Satan, who was, as all of us realize, a beautiful, magnificent angel, who sought to be equal to and exceed God, when you find it in Isaiah, The personal pronouns are used over and over and over again. In other words, there's an emphasis upon self, self-righteousness. Number 10. Oh, listen to this one carefully. Evil originated and existed before human history. Evil originated and existed before human history. And the purpose was to oppose God. Evil originated and existed before human history with a purpose to oppose the system which is God's system. Here's the thought that I want you to see. Satan has a desire to beat the Lord Jesus Christ to the millennium. Satan has a desire to beat Jesus Christ to the millennium with an attempt to produce a perfect world. All you have to do is listen today and you'll understand that in the political world and all around, people are saying, let's make this a better world. So Satan has a desire to beat the Lord Jesus Christ to the millennium, which he will not do, with an attempt to produce a perfect world. I need to tell you, as the world follows that plan, the more degenerate it becomes. Sin, unchecked, not curtailed, not limited, not restrained, not curbed. Sin leads on down that conduit to satanic thinking. And the believer has to make a decision. Awake. Be sober. Become alive. It's a command. Get with God's plan now. And do not practice disobeying God. Do not practice sin. For some have an ignorance of God. And I speak this to your shame. You talk about pungent, startling, powerful. It's like a dagger in your heart when the Lord says, if you're going down the wrong road, it's a shame. It's a shame. You don't have to go down the wrong road. You can make a decision moment by moment, second by second, to be in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, be saturated with His Word, not evil, and you'll have a life that's filled with joy, peace, contentment, and you'll be a triumphant, victorious believer. That's God's plan. And on Wednesday night, we'll get back into 1 Corinthians 15:34. We'll exegete the verse and spend some time there. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you so much today for your challenge to our hearts and the desire that we should all have, and that is to live our lives in accordance with your wonderful plan. We thank you that you provided everything we need to have this joyful, fruitful, victorious, triumphant life. May we be challenged today as we leave this place to determine in our own individual hearts that we're going to live our lives in accordance with your plan. And we thank you for salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ and pray that there will be those who hear this message who will accept Jesus Christ even now as their Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.